Hey everybody, we're waiting for all the streams to kick in here and then we'll start in a minute here. Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
From the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars. For Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Looks like we got everything going the way it's supposed to be going tonight. It's a miracle. We're getting better. Getting more consistent. So what I normally do here, just so everybody's aware, I normally, what I've been doing is on YouTube. I've been broadcasting live on the stream. And then I go and broadcast on all the other ones in case there's a technical issue. I edit it. Produce it and everything else. So if you're on YouTube, you are seeing this live. Everywhere else, it's pre-recorded, except on that Safety FM. Safety FM, it is live. I'm assuming it is, right? Oh, but again, I don't trust computers. So having that conversation with a client today. So look, we're probably, no, pretty much everybody on the network here, on the Safety FM network, is everybody is pretty adept with the technology. We're all in there, but it seems like that's really them talking to people. I'm not talking about saying anything out of school here, you know, that I'm not supposed to, but a lot of us are like, yeah, we have the computers, we have this, we have that. But we don't really fully trust them because they're computers. Right? And then you have the other end,
right,
where you don't have things that are automated, and you're not in that Rasmussen skills mode if you have a human being, so you try to take the human being out of it sometimes with some designing of our systems so they're automated more, so there's no thing, so we don't have to deal with people. So you have that on that end. So you got a lot of conflicting things. And yes, looks like we're up and running on everything. So let's revisit a couple of topics, or at least one topic from last night, where I had mentioned, and it's only gotten worse today. I mean, you're in the New York news here today with all these protests on the college campuses. I really mean that with what I said last night. I'm not going to retract it. There are some people, oh, are you sure you want to say it? Yeah, I'm going to say it because as I see it, it's true. No, I see it as true, 100% true. And that is where, so you're an activist. You're a, let me turn the volume down on these. You're an activist. You're a college student. You're, regardless of what you are, you're whatever. And you get wrapped up in this. The leaders of these movements are all well-established. They are often have money. They have power. They have an audience. They have homes. They have children. They have careers. They have everything that you need, right? Now you have college students, right? And it's all the rules for radicals, guys. And the issue, what we talk about here, the issue attention cycle and everything else. They get people wrapped up into this stuff, college students, young people and everything else. And guess what happens? Sometimes it's not even their intention to do it. Now you have people breaking the law and ruining their future. I talked about one of the former Jim Polzel groupies who, when I was involved in politics, she followed me a little bit. She was a local person in central New Jersey. And I know that that's a debate if you're from New Jersey, right? sort of like the Taylor Ham and Pork Roll debate. And she wrote some very controversial articles and some interviews and posts and things on social media. Before you know it, she, because of the whole cancel culture thing, she has nothing, right? Nobody knows where she is, basically. We know that she does something in Northern Virginia and she is gainfully employed. However, she had to go completely off the grid for the most part. I think she might have even had to change her name over this stuff. Why? Because the leaders in the movement guided her in a certain way. I remember with certain political candidates, and these are not fringe candidates. These were candidates that were established candidates. They had previously held federal, state, and local office, so they were legitimate candidates. It wasn't like a vanity campaign that went out, started running for office, and he had people spending thousands of dollars going into debt for these candidates. Guess what? They're still paying off the debt. And I've been out of this for 15 years. They're still paying debt off. Credit cards, time. They didn't concentrate on their own career. Now they're a couple of years behind and where they should be. Now, all different types of stuff. So you got to be very careful here. Who is looking out for you? What's in it for me, right? Or how's this going to hurt me? How's it going to help me? If you want to go into politics, get involved in this stuff, hey, guess what? You're going to do that. I went through with smaller campaigns. I got into very high-level positions in those smaller campaigns, got to meet a lot of people, got to go to the Capitol, got to meet with, a Speaker of the House, and all this other stuff. Great. But the thing is, your psychological safety, it's always at risk. What do you do? How's this impact? How's this going to impact me 10 years down the line? Because, you're young. You don't have that sort of point of view here. And guess what? As Abby Ferry has said before, and, I've spoken to her once or twice, over the internet. She had a very poignant line. When she used to teach her students, when she did college professor work as an adjunct like me, screenshots don't disappear. So be careful what you put online there. So that's basically it. Number one. Number two, we talked last week on the Hannah Gutierrez-Reed situation, and I got questioned a couple of times on that in the last week by people out on projects and some other locations, right? I talked about whistleblower. So we're going to talk about whistleblower protection programs with United States OSHA, right, with that. So we're going to share the screen here, and we are transferring over into other software, but it's been a slow process. All of this behind us is going away in the very near future, and we're always continuous improvement here. We got some new equipment here and everything else, and we're going to go with that. So let's go to our first commercial break, and we will get back to you in a minute.
This is Safety Wars.
Oh, wrong one. It's Thursday.
This is Safety Wars, broadcasting to our brothers and sisters in the occupied territory of behavior-based safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
Context drives behavior. Context drives behavior.
And let's remember that context drives behavior. What does that mean? That means, well, what's going on? What's going on everywhere else? Now, what are you doing? The circumstances and all that stuff. That's what drives behavior. Because I can tell you, most of the time when you're dealing with folks, it seems like they're making the right decision at the time, and then it turns out to be the wrong decision. That's why I don't go too hard on people, right, with that. And it's not good if you're a safety professional to go down hard on people with yelling and screaming, and you're right, that leads to number five. Your reaction matters. Now, yesterday I got into a car accident. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. A guy rear-ended me, and the guy got out, and he's like, "What? You're not upset?" And I said, Well, there's like no damage to my vehicle because I drive a pickup truck and I have my trailer hitch on. So you can imagine the damage that was done to his little tiny car, right? Well, as my father used to say, boy, those trailer hitches cause a lot of damage. But I was like, look, context drives behavior. I don't think that you meant to hit me. I think there might have been something going on, and you know, let's exchange information and go on our merry ways here. And you're not yelling and screaming. I said, why should I yell and scream? Doesn't matter. Your behavior matters with this. Now, OSHA, what they don't really talk about here is this. So OSHA manages, at least in the first reporting process, manages over 20 different federal statutes for whistleblowers. So there's a whistleblower for this, whistleblower for that, whistleblower for that, right? All this, Sarbanes-Oxley and everything else. So I'm on the OSHA webpage, since this is a safety job website, we're safety program, we're going to talk about this. So how about us here? OSHA's whistleblower protection program enforces protections for employees who suffer retaliation for engaging in protected activities under more than 20 federal laws. The investigation of complaints of retaliation against employees is conducted by investigators in OSHA's regions. Right, so let's click on that right here. So you have 10 different regions, also federal districts. So here I am in... Here I am in New Jersey and New York area. That is federal district two. Also, Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands are also in federal district two. So if you ever are bidding on a federal project in a region two, guess what? You have to go and realize that you're going to be working possibly in Puerto Rico. I have an emergency that just came over. I'm going to go to commercial break. I apologize. Hold on, everybody.
In a world where danger lurks in every corner, one man stands as a beacon of hope. Jim Polzel, a veteran safety expert with over 3 decades of experience, now bringing his knowledge to you with Safety Wars. Engaging, informative, and always relevant, that's Safety Wars. Join a safety revolution with Safety Wars, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
Yes, I am your father. Sorry about that, folks. We do have clients all over the place making phone calls here. Anyway, so back to where we are. So you have different regions and federal regions and everything else and different states. So this is, select a state for your local office. We also have a thing here for state plans, and it shows you the different areas where there are state plans, and some of them are, right, state approved. Like, for example, New Jersey and New York have a state approved plan. It's only for state or local governments. And, you have states like California, where they have a state approved plan for state and local government workplaces. And, that's a debate for another day. However, it was a debate today on, I believe, the Supreme Court on what the limits of sovereign immunity are. Most of the time, I don't believe in sovereign immunity when it comes to occupational safety and health or environmental issues. Just don't do it. It's in too many abuses of sovereign immunity. U.S. equal here we go. The investigation of complaints of retaliation is against conducted by investigators in OSHA regions. OSHA investigators are neutral fact finders. They do not work for either the complainant or respondent. In addition to OSHA, the agencies below provide anti-retaliation protections in various capacities. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the Wage and Hour Division, the National Labor Relations Board. With the exception of U.S. postal employees, the OSHA does not cover retaliation allegations from federal employees. There are several environmental statutes that do. However, all federal agencies are required to establish procedures to ensure that there's no retaliation, and going on and on. With that, you can go look this up yourself. So we're going over to employees how to file a complaint. And you have certain time limits. OSHA administers more than 20 whistleblower statutes. The time frame of filing a complaint begins when the adverse action, such as a firing, occurs, and is communicated to the employee. So you have different requirements. So under OSHA, 30 days. Clean Air Act, 30 days. Some of these other things, 30 days. And going on and on. With that, ways of filing the complaint. Do it online, by fax, telephone, or in person. And you have to have all different types of documentation. We're not going to read every one of them on here that you're going to have, right? So OSHA conducts an interview of each complainant. If OSHA conducts an investigation, it will also obtain information from the employer and witnesses as needed. If evidence supports employee claim of retaliation, OSHA will take action that may include requiring the employer to restore the employee's job, earnings, benefits. And we are, and they have an OSHA whistleblower investigations manual. Often when we cover the, Department of Labor news press releases, a lot of those, and I don't read them all, a lot of those have to do with these complaints here with that. So federal law, know your rights. What are the employees' rights? OSHA worker rights and protections. You have following rights. Receive workplace safety and health training in a language you understand. So if, for example, you're predominantly Spanish-speaking, you're entitled to get it in Spanish or have it explained to you in Spanish somehow. You got to get the information. Work on machines that are safe. Refuse to work in a situation which you can be exposed to a hazard. Receive required safety equipment, such as gloves or a harness and lifeline for falls. Be protected from toxic chemicals. We talked about that the other night. Request an OSHA inspection and speak to the inspector. Report an injury, illness, and get copies of your medical records. Review records of work-related injuries and illnesses, and see the tests to be taken to find workplace hazards. When to file, if you believe working conditions are unsafe, unhelpful, you may file a confidential complaint with OSHA and ask for an inspection. If possible, tell your employer about your concerns. And you have a protection against retaliation. So we have public service announcements here. So let's see. This is for falls. Let's see if it will.
This is an important message from the United States Department. Always wear fall protection when you're working 6 feet or more on the ground. This helps prevent falls from heights, ladders, and unstable work surfaces. OSHA wants you to be safe. For more tips and resources on preventing falls, visit OSHA.gov or call 1-800-321-OSHA. That's 1-800-321-6742.
All right. So they have different public, right? That's from General Workplace Safety there. You also have all different stuff here. Workers' rights and English, French, and everything else. These are 15-second audio messages.
Employers have a responsibility to keep all workers safe and healthy while on the job. As a worker, you have a right to speak about safety concerns without fear of retaliation. Learn more about your rights and how we can help you at OSHA.gov/workers.
All right, so that's another one. We're probably going to download some of those here. So you have many different things along those lines dealing with PSAs. You can have videos also. Time limits you have. So, and you have protection for refusal to perform tasks. Now, if you are a OSHA outreach trainer, this is all your information here. Right? You're supposed to go through the OSHA website, show people, navigate a little bit. Go over the whistleblower stuff. You have a right. Here we have Section 11C. Under Section 11C, a person may not retaliate against an employee because the employee refused to perform a task if the following conditions are met. The employee had a reasonable apprehension of death or serious injury. If the task were performed, the employee's refusal was in good faith. The employee had no reasonable or safe alternative assignment. There was insufficient time to have federal or state OSHA or another agency conduct an inspection. Where possible, the employee sought the employer sought from the employer but was unable to obtain a correction. You also have the Seamen's Protection Act. All right, similar things. Surface Transportation Assistance Act, Federal Railroad Safety Act, and going on and on and on. And UNT visa certifications. Going through the Victims of Trafficking with Violence Protection Act. Created two types of immigrant benefits available for certain victims of crime. And they've gotten involved with this. It's a little bit controversial, and that's like deep into the weeds here. Employees, employers, how to create an anti-retaliation program. Again, since this gets very expensive, this is probably worth it for at least somebody in human resources or with some person in charge to actually go through this. And here we go. Let me zoom in here, if I can zoom in a little bit more. Five key elements to an effective anti-retaliation program. Management commission, compliance concern, right? Anti-retaliation response system, anti-retaliation training, and program oversight. Probably worth looking into it there. And how to request review of an OSHA finding. Employees can request a review of dismissal, of cases filed under those things. And complainants must submit a request in writing for review within 15 calendar days. So this is like if you're going to appeal things, is my understanding. What is workplace retaliation? Firing or laying off, demoting, denying overtime, disciplining, denying benefits, failing to hire or rehire, intimidation or reaction, making threats, reassignment to a worse position, reducing or changing pay or hours, more subtle actions, isolating, ostracizing, mocking, falsely accusing employee of poor performance, blacklisting, constructive discharge, right, which is an employer makes working conditions intolerable due to employee's protective activity, reporting or threatening to report an employee to the police or immigration authorities. And it goes on. Now, you're a safety professional. You bring over, you bring up some of these things, and you get, sure, that's happened. Did you realize that that was now a violation of federal law? How many of us as safety professionals get fired? How many of us have any of those things going, those adverse reactions going on because we are doing our job? Just something to think of. Now, if Hannah Gutierrez-Reed knew that, I don't know why she did not exercise her rights, but if she, no, this was her part of her thing, was either to quit or do this. You know, report things under the whistleblower program. New Mexico has a process here for this. What to expect during, and she might not be in jail, right, with this. And you might have had, and let's look at it the other way. Had she done that, she might not, we might not have had a fatality here. What to expect during whistleblower investigation. There's interviews, an investigation, and then a conclusion. You have an alternative dispute resolution program, right? Voluntary, which is a voluntarily attempt to negotiate a settlement. Settling a whistleblower case, everything gets subject to review. So OSHA will not approve an agreement that contains any of the following: a confidentiality agreement, or now non-compete clauses as of yesterday are illegal in most cases, a gag provision, a provision that waives a complainant's right to receive or fully retain a monetary reward, a waiver of future employment that OSHA determines is overly restrictive, a release clause in which the complainant could not reasonably know who is being released, release clauses with vague leases such as agents, insurers, stockholders, attorneys, affiliates. Such unclear terms must not be in a release, or the release must be accompanied by an appendix listing all agents, insurers, stockbrokers, etc. So OSHA has to approve this stuff. And they have different resources here and statutes we're not going to go into. So that's something there, right? So here we have the OSHA news releases specifically dealing with whistleblowers here and going back several years with that. And that's what they choose to publicize, but there are a lot of other cases on that. So that's what we're going to talk about as far as that. We're going to take a commercial break and we'll get back to you.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Poelzel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now, he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all. With his engaging storytelling and expert analysis, Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Poelzel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars, your safety is our mission.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
This is Safety Wars, broadcasting to our brothers and sisters in the occupied territory of behavior-based safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
Human error is normal. Human error is normal.
All right, now, in the next couple of weeks, we have something coming up that, and I don't know why it did not, did not work. That's why we're going to be doing something different next week. Okay, we have next week the National Safety Stand Down for Falls. Let me take myself out from here. So, all right, here we have U.S. Department of Labor cites two Florida construction contractors here. After finding lack of train safety protocols led to a 37-year-old employee's fatal injuries. This is out of Orlando. We reported this on the news last October when this happened. Federal workplace safety investigators have determined that a Tampa area construction contractor could have prevented a 37-year-old aerial lift operator from suffering fatal injuries after being struck by a boom as a crane tipped over during a work on an Orlando highway ramp. OSHA found the incident occurred while employees of a certain company in Florida and another company in Plant City installed precast concrete sound barrier panels on the southbound route of SR State Route 417. The agency proposed for the crane company, and a person died, right? $16,131 for the crane company. Let's see what those are. All right. So people ask why, one of the criticisms is very low fines here. But with this one, usually crane companies have their groove note together. So, I don't know, they got them on this. 29 CFR 1926-1402, the equipment was assembled or used without ensuring that ground conditions were firm, trained, and graded to a sufficient extent so that in conjunction, if necessary, with the use of supporting materials, the equipment manufacturer's specifications for adequate support and degree level of the equipment were not met. Employees, so this is their explanation, employees and other subcontractors were exposed to crush fly hazards and that the crane operator did not ensure the ground conditions under the west side of rear outrigger were adequate to support the crane while it lifted sound barrier panels. And that is $16,131 to the company. Now, often what happens, from what my understanding with the laws, and from people who I've spoken to in the industry over the last 32 years, often these things give you a little fine to admit guilt. So, you know, with that, then because especially they think there's going to be a lawsuit. That's what I'm told. All right. So here is to the actual company itself. Citation one, item one, type of violation serious. Ladders were used for purposes other than the purpose for which they were designed. Employees were exposed to 6-foot fall hazards in that the extension ladders were taken apart to reach and rake the concrete sound barrier panels. So $4,839. A citation to item one was $0. That was a paperwork issue. No, again, you have to, if there is an inspection required, you have to have documentation. I went through this with a client today here. So, 4,000, apparently they had all their stuff together. This is just one of those things when this happened, $4,839. And the last one was no inspection, documented inspections on, chains. Again, you know, it's an issue here. All right. Our next one. All right. Here we have another company. Let's do a share screen on this one. This is going to be a much longer one here. Here we have a trench contractor. Why do I have to do this twice? Hold on with me, folks, if you're on the screen. Okay. Got to share it twice. Here we have a contractor faces $1.1 million in penalties after federal inspectors find employees again exposed to potentially fatal trenching hazards. This is out of Guam. Okay, we don't get a lot of news out of Guam, but here it is. A A contractor with a history of failure to protect employees working in trenches from potentially deadly harm faces penalties of more than $1 million after federal investigators found employees working in trenches deeper than 5 feet without required safety equipment. And going on, excavations can collapse in seconds and lead to serious and often fatal injuries as workers are buried in cubic yards of soils, each cubic yard weighing as much as 3,000 pounds. There were 39 workers killed in 2022. So we're going to go down here. OSHA has a national emphasis program on trenching excavations. Trenching standards require protective systems in trenches deeper than 5 feet. Additionally, trenches must be inspected by a knowledgeable person, a.k.a. competent person. And there must be a safe means of egress, so an entrance. So let's see what the citations are. Okay, we got extensive. A lot of citations here. So, all right. Here we have citation one, item one, serious. A stairway, ladder, or a safe means of egress is not within, and this is a serious one. Every employee in there has to have a means of egress within 25 feet, usually as a ramp, ladder, or something like that. So a stairway, ladder, ramp, or other safe means of egress was not located in trench excavations that were 4 feet or more in depth. So you got to have lateral travel from each employee. The employer, so that's 11,292. The employer does not provide means of egress. Right. Citation one, item one, two, a stairway, ladder, ramp, or other. This is serious. A stairway, ramp, ladder, or other safe means was not located. Again, they got them for another 11,000. Citation two, item one, willful. $112,000 on this one. No adequate cave-in protection. Citation two, item two, type of violation, willful, serious. Again, this is each employee in an excavation was not protected from a cave-in by an adequate protective system. $112,000. And here's another one. Same one. Right? Same one. Another $112,000. So there too. Again, these are the new fine structures there where they're able to do this individually here. $112,926. Another one. Same one. Citation two, item five, same violation, $112,000. So they had several employees in there. And here's another $112,000 for the same thing. No adequate protection system, another $112,000. Citation two, item eight, same one, another $112,000 plus. Citation two, item nine, another $112,000. For a grand total of $1,038,918. And this is per instance, right? They're able to do a per instance type of thing. A lot of money that adds up to. All right. Here he goes. All right. And... all right, we're going to go into some of the regular news here, and I'm going to give some commentary here. Let's talk about money here. I mean, these financial markets are going insane here with everything. Here we have gold at $2,344, silver at $2,757, platinum at $934. These are all up. Palladium at $1,050. Let's see what the Dow Jones did today. Going a lot quicker than normally here. Dow Jones Industrial fell today to 38,085. S&P 500 dropped to 55,048. NASDAQ is dropped to 15,611. 10-year Treasury note is up 4.7%. And let's see what Bitcoin is. It's 64,1770. Okay. And now... I'm gonna take this on. We got a report today that Harvey Weinstein, all right, New York's, this is from the Associated Press, New York's highest court on Thursday threw out Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction with a ruling that shocked and disappointed women who celebrated historic gains during the Me Too era and left those who testified in the case racing for a retrial. The court found that found the trial judge unfairly allowed testimony against Weinstein based on allegations that weren't part of the case. Now, this is the whole thing, all right? Even criminals or alleged criminals have rights to a fair trial, according to our Constitution. And I think just a lot of these trials, and there are some other ones out there in the last few years that I come to think, seem to be politically motivated on a lot of things, right? I was shocked as well as everybody else with the allegations here and some of them. And I believe, by the way, I believe that probably all of them, or not most of them, are true here. And another one is one that hits a little bit closer to home, the Archdiocese of Metuchen, New Jersey, that there are cases, and as well as the Anthony Rapp and Kevin Spacey case and everything. But you cannot just go and, okay, these are what the facts are. We're going to convict someone based on these facts, and you have a trial by jury or a judge, and that goes through, and you have a fair trial. Okay, that's one thing. But when you start to go over the top and you start character assassination, and then you get the media mob involved, the activists in there and everything else, now you had to have a situation where the, and I'm sure this is going to be appealed somewhere, where, you know, by somebody, and this is going to be dragged out for another couple of years with this. Now we got to redo it all over again, because maybe we went overboard here with all this other stuff. They're unfairly allowing testimony that against Weinstein based on allegations that were not part of this case. And guess what? I'm going to point out to this. This is not like a, this is not a conservative state. This is not an anti-woman state, the state of New York. This is the state of New York here. Tends to lean left. Does not lean right. So what does that tell you here? I don't know. If you're going to convict someone, do it on the facts is what the thing is. Just the facts. Just like on Dragnet, the old TV show. There used to be a TV show called Dragnet. This is from another story. And again, everyone's innocent until proven guilty, and our hearts go out to the victims in these cases, which, were this was adjudicated here, right? And I believe those cases as is, that something happened here. Here we have Riverside, California. We've seen all plastic, right? This is from Study Finds, Chris Mellor. From two soda companies that you've heard of, they're driving the worldwide plastic crisis. So the study published in the Journal of Science Advances analyzed data from over 1,500 litter surveys conducted by volunteers in 84 countries between 2018 and 2022. During these brand audits, volunteers picked up over 1.8 million pieces of plastic pollution found in parks, beaches, streets, and other public spaces. This past week, we just had all the cleanups in our town here, right, for Earth Day. They also noted the brands and labels. So they did like a little forensic investigation here. And the, you know, and what's funny is on here, and they're defaming these two companies. And what do I see? Advertisements for swag for these two companies. Big thing. Now, I know there was a controversy at the time for the Kevin Costner movie, Waterworld, way back in the 90s, where a certain company that made a certain very distinct water bottle, all right, bottled water thing. I can make another joke here on that, and I don't want to start calling out people here. But they got very upset because in that movie, that bottle like survived the apocalypse and people were still using them, right? So they said, you know, that doesn't look so good. And they changed the way that they were doing things. And if you look to friend of the program, Allison Teal, she is known as the, now I'll do a plug for her. She's known as the female Indiana Jones. Her book, right, Allison's Adventures, phenomenal book, especially if you have children. I highly recommend it, in the book. My daughter was the first book that she ever took a real interest in that wasn't like a baby book, because Allison goes on all different adventures, and she went to the Maldives and did a short movie on that, specifically on the Maldives and the plastic crisis, and she's been involved. So if you want to go over and let me get you the website. Right. Allison's Adventures is Allison's Adventures .com. I'm going to recommend you go on over to her and see what she's doing here, because it's, I tell you what, her whole thing on, she's pivoted a little bit since the pandemic a little bit, what she covers. But I tell you what, the plastic pollution is a major thing. Now, people ask me, how old are you, Jim? And I got some big compliments this week. Right, until I took my hat, and I keep my hair head shaved or very hair short, so you can't see all the gray hair, right? And I wear a hat, right? That's the other thing. But anyway, so I wear all the stuff, and I look young and blah, blah, blah. Now, what does that have to do with the other? I don't know. I'm rambling, as usual. But they say, how old are you? This was, how old are you, Jim? And I said, well, I'm old enough to remember how the use of paper bags in the supermarket was going to destroy the rainforest, and we had to use these biodegradable plastic bags from now on. Otherwise, you were not protecting the environment, and you were evil. And my question was always this, right? And this, you know, Europe always had reusable bags for the most part. From when I in that time frame, I was in Europe at that time. On vacation, everybody had reusable bags. They did not have what we have here. And my question was, well, yeah, but it biodegrades down to what? And people would ridicule you and laugh at you, blah, 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 blah. Oh, what are you talking about? Ha, 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 Jim, we're saving the rainforest. And then what do you think happens? You find out pollution by plastics and microplastics and the environment. They're all over the place. This stuff biodegraded down to breaks down into microplastics. How's that impacting us? I don't know. I don't know. So I would check out Allison's Adventures there. And I guess, you know what? I'm going to edit this out, and I'll make a separate video on this. She's does some very important work on this whole thing with the environmental stuff with this. Okay. That's all I got for tonight. We're going to pull up the video, and let's see what else we have going on, our outro video. The Safety FM network is usually who we go by with our time. So we got 5 minutes, 44 seconds. Can we find something to talk about for 5 minutes, 44 seconds here? Yes, we can, because I am Jim Polzel, the safety warrior. I could figure things out. So what else is going on here? What's coming up? So we're going to be talking about next week, starting to get into the fall protection, and the week after. My plan is to have a week of commentary on fall protections and things of that nature. So stay tuned for that. As far as, I mean, assuming we make it to Disaster Preparation Month in September, that's only 5 months away here, less than 5 months away. I think we're going to have to amp things up a little bit for that. Give me your thoughts on that. You know, you can drop me a line on any of the social media, Twitter or X, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, what have you, on and Jim at safetywords.com. What do you want to talk about? Because I tell you what, we have a problem now, dude. With all the social upheaval, the stuff going on in the Middle East, protests all over. Our town has protests every Sunday. There's a protest on Route 59 in Nanuet. Right? And they police have done a real good job of keeping people separate and setting up protest zones and things of that nature. What we used to call back in my political days, sine waves. I don't know. What's your thinking? My thinking is that we have to talk about disaster preparation. It's critical this year because we have people talking about nuclear bombs and nuking people and saber-rattling and everything else. But it seems that are we being played here? We have what is called the issue attention cycle. We probably need to do a program on that and exactly what that is. And the issue attention cycle mainly being where you're concentrating on something and then it becomes in the news. And then after a while, it fizzles out. Right. So what happened when they're amping up all this stuff? Now we had a couple of bills passed in Congress for funding Ukraine. Now, all of a sudden, that's not on the front page anymore. Now we're back to politics and the election and trials and everything else. Are we being played? I don't know. Something we need to do, but as the government says, you need to have enough stuff together for 72 to 96 hours. And I would encourage people to go and do that. And for Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel. We're going to go to our video, our outro video. And why do we play the national anthem? Because I am I was brought up on broadcast TV before a cable that used to put on the national anthem at the end of their broadcast, and I'm just keeping up that tradition here with that. And sometimes I play some other stuff if it's appropriate. So here we go.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.